Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for April 15th, 2014. I got a little respiratory thing going, but I'm getting through it best I can. I don't plan to talk that much. I'm thrilled to have Tom Kaipacha Nilesher on the show today because I've been following his weekly video Paley report for about a year on his website, New Paradigm Astrology. And I really appreciate the way he steps down the core concepts of astrology in terms of personal psychology and collective sociology, you might say, that most of us, at least many of us, can relate to. So I'm going to be talking about with Kaipacha today about the Cardinal Grand Cross of 2014, here in April 2014, this month. Some people refer to it as the sign of the times for the year, the next few years even, and also as a personal and planetary paradigm shift, and even some people refer to it as the sign of the cross, as it represents the second coming of Christ-like conscience at the cusp of the Aquarian age of freedom with love, by love, and for love. So is that possible? I mean, would you agree that a global revolution in higher consciousness will be a challenge for deeply entrenched paradigm paralysis in ourselves and our institutions? Probably, but have you been stressed lately? I mean, have you been feeling it, especially in personal relationships? Have you watched the news about geopolitical turmoil with signs of currency collapse and World War III? Or did you see the news this last week about the big earthquakes, tsunami, volcanic eruptions, and the signs of coming earth changes? Well, there's a common factor behind all this, folks. You might say there's a method to the madness. Cosmos has methods. And the Cardinal Grand Cross is a big catalyst for change in the quantum field, not only between one's ears, but also in the body of Mother Earth herself. So quantum science has shown us that what's going on globally is a reflection and a projection of what's going on in our own lives. We'll be discussing that today. So Kaipacha, thank you for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Thanks for having me, Christopher. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
I'm grateful for what you've been doing. I enjoy your style. I've turned on a lot of friends to it, people that were kind of into astrology but now are really into it, you know, listening to your weekly Paley report. And I was just going to ask right up front here, for those who are new to your story, could you give a few minutes on your stellar journey into cosmic realms?
Oh, boy. In 10 words or less?
Oh, 10 words, 10 minutes or less.
Yeah. Oh, well, basically, I just, about 35 or more years ago, I lived next door to an astrologer, and I didn't know if I was a Cancer or a Leo. I was born on July 23rd. And so he just invited me over one day and looked at my chart and blew my mind and told me everything about everything that I'd ever wondered about. And I was just like, whoa. So it was pretty much since then. I just dove in all the way and did my family and friends and read every book and talked to every astrologer and just took off with it. And I've been having a love affair with it ever since. So it's kind of brought me into other realms, working with, multi dimensions. And then a number of years ago, I got into Kundalini yoga. That kind of opened up and really changed my whole perspective and relationship to what's going on out there as reflecting what's going on inside. So I now use You know, I use the Kundalini yoga and the chakras and the energy centers, and use different, you know, looking at the chart, you can line up different, you know, different kriyas and different mantras that are good that will, you know, assist the awakening process of the individual. And so I combine, you know, I like the, and then I got into shamanism. So I don't know, you know, I mean, I'm just, I enjoy every aspect of, you know, that's going to open my awareness to anything.
And you're a good cosmic dude for cosmic love, I'll tell you.
Exactly. We'll save the tantra for another show.
Well, you know, I've been kind of an amateur astrologer myself. I've had three holistic health centers, and I used medical astrology as a tool, which used to be huge, you know, 100 years ago, you know, and with homeopathy and in the East, and the Eastern, and India was really big, medical astrology with homeopathy and the Ayurvedic also. And I got into Eileen Naumann's book on medical astrology. And in very difficult cases, when I would use multiple, you know, interdisciplinary diagnostic from iridology and phrenology and clinical nutrition and different things, and I would get stuck sometimes, I'd use the medical astrology, and it was very helpful. It was like the law of correspondence would nail it. And so I know there's a practical dimension to it, and I know there's a quantum dimension to it, because the homeopathy, even before, you know, quantum physics explained how homeopathy was working, I mean, there was people that knew it worked here 100 years ago, and it was really actually the best medical standard back about 100 years ago before the allopaths took over. So I was going to not talk about myself so much. I can't really because of my voice. I did want to ask you, this time right now, a lot of people are wondering what it is about the energy of this time in general, but with the cosmic, this cardinal grand cross, as far as these major planets that are in a really dynamic, creative tension relationship, something referred to as the Grand Cross or the different names for it. But could you go into that a little bit and give a little feeling for listeners that are kind of new to this, what's going on in the larger picture with some of these planets? And I know this is kind of a rerun for some of the things you've talked about on your regular show, but I'd like to think there's some new listeners today, you know, that might be getting this, you know, for one of their first times.
Well, sure. If it is one of their first times, I don't want to overwhelm them with what I call astro babble.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to keep the astrology to a minimum and really look at the significance, the symbolism, the meaning behind, and mm-hmm. you know, just the evolutionary processes that are unfolding before our very eyes and behind our very eyes within our own very souls. You know, we are really all of evolution occurs through cycles, and astrology is the study of cycles. We have all these, you know, different cycles, you know, blending, mixing, overlapping, and it's just you know, it's a beautiful symphony of change going on. And when we look at the bigger cycles, I mean, we're shifting ages from a 26,000 year you know, cycle, the great year that we can look at, changing, you know, major ages within that. Then we're changing from the age of Pisces into Aquarius, which is a 2,000 year cycle that we've been in Pisces coming into Aquarius. And then within that, we have this Pluto cycle, which goes around every 248 years. And in fact, you know, it was in Capricorn when the United States was founded in 1776. We have a birth chart for the United States. The United States will be having its first Pluto return coming up here in a couple of years. And so it goes on and on. There's another Uranus is an 85-year cycle. So what's really happening now? We look at these cycles, and each one of these cycles is like a different, you know, part of the plant, you know, that is blossoming at different, you know, at different times. And Pluto is, of course, the symbol, the representative of transformation, of death and rebirth. He was the god of the underworld. And Pluto comes around and, you know, basically completely annihilates, demolishes, removes that which is in the way of the future unfolding. It's like the seed must die that is born again. So there's this death rebirth process associated with this planet Pluto. It went into the sign of Capricorn in 2008. It's going to stay there until 2024. So we have this ending of what is Capricorn. We want to blend together these archetypes. And Capricorn has to do with external authority. It has to do with laws, governments, militaries, banks, established orders, the father, the church, whatever we look to outside of ourselves for giving us instructions or, you know, recipes to success. And so this is a transformation of that. It's like and on a deeper level, I see this just as a time of maturing of the collective consciousness of humanity into a new paradigm, into a new awareness of our own capacity to be co-creators rather than be victims or be at the mercy of some external God, source, or creator. We are becoming, we're old enough now as a species. You know, it's like, okay, you know, time to get a job. Time to get out there and get your act together and, and clean up this planet and, come into your own unique contribution, your own unique. It's like if Source is the sun, we are each a ray and we each have our own unique special gift to contribute to the overall evolution of creation, creator. So this becoming co-creators, is also taking on some responsibility for what the hell is going on around here. And we're not victims. It's the end of victim consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so this, when this comes around with the planet Uranus, we can look at Uranus now as the other part of this grand cross. It's in the sign of Aries. And Aries, of course, is the first sign of the zodiac. It's the warrior. It's the impulse. It's the drive. It's the masculine desire to individuate. So here we have at this, this square is a tension between the old existing forms, the established, institutions that have been in power, dominating and controlling and, manipulating through propaganda and mental and religious and all types of brainwashing, sociocultural conditioning. It's now time. And the seeds of this were sown at the conjunction, the Pluto-Uranus conjunction in 1965-66 during the Summer of Love. And, I'm actually thinking that now we want to call 2014 the Year of Love.
Yeah.
Rather than the Summer of Love, now it's like, that seed that was sown in the mid-60s is now ripening into a first quarter square. It has to do with physical manifestation of an inner impulse.
And creative tension.
And that inner impulse.
Manifestation, yeah.
It was the inner impulse was we create our own reality. That's what Timothy Leary taught us.
Yeah.
Along with a few others, in their plant medicine and otherwise medicine. It's like, yeah, we create our own reality. Wow, what a great concept. Well, guess what? It's not a concept. It's a reality. And the sooner we get going with it, the easier. Yeah. And the tension now is just like squeezing us to open. And if we look at this opening that's happening, then the other part of this grand cross is Jupiter. Jupiter's in the sign of Cancer, opposite that Pluto in Capricorn, squaring that Uranus in Aries. And we look at Jupiter. I always say Jupiter is the fast track of evolution. If you want to evolve, if you want to grow, if you want to expand, prosper, be full of abundance and joy, do Jupiter. And so what's cancer?
Well,
it's feeling, intuition. It is my own inner drummer. I go to the beat of my own inner drummer, and my own inner drummer wants emotional connection. Cancer is the sign of family. It's nurturing. It's the inner child that is open to love, to love.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. This is a beautiful time of, you know, coming into this realization. And this is the bigger part of the picture that I see, because I see the end of patriarchy that has been in existence for 6,500 years of male-dominated masculine energy, now realigning, reintegrating, rebalancing with the re-emerging feminine.
Yeah.
You know, and let's, you know, we look at this and we say, okay, you know, the birth of that patriarchy was the birth of that. It was time for us to kind of come out of the womb, come out of the infinite union, infinite potential, multidimensional, sea of love, and individuate, come into our own separate, unique egos and identities, and realize ourselves as special individuals. So all we can say is I want everybody to pat themselves and each other on the back. Thank you very much. We're done. We've graduated. We are, thanks to America and a few other impulses going on here, you know, self-centered, narcissistic, take care of my own shit first kind of, humanity. So, yeah. And so, yeah, everybody is, and this is actually part of, whether you want to call it the Illuminati or the forces that control or the banks or the governments, it's like separate, divide, and conquer.
Yeah.
We are so much easier to control when we are in fear, when we are separate, when we are into self-protection, when we are into a reality of limited supply, and I need to protect myself and my children, and da 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 da, and of course that's where the old patriarchy wants to keep us. But this re-emerging feminine, the feminine force, is the force of love. It is the force of unity. It is the force of the collective. It's not exclusive like the patriarchy. It is inclusive. And this Jupiter in Cancer, you know, is just, you know, really reminding us. It's bringing us forward. It came in from June of 13 to June of 14. It's in the sign of Cancer, which is water. And the oceans unite the whole collective consciousness. And Cancer is ruled by the moon. And it's just like, you know, this whole intuitive, psychic a connection that we all have down through our individual root chakras into Mother Earth. It's just absolutely beautiful that anybody who is tapping in to the collective unconscious at this point in time, with especially with Neptune, Chiron, and Venus in Pisces, which is astrologically the collective unconscious, is coming into that. This is, you know, this is the reconnecting. Everybody's looking for their tribe, looking for their people. I saw the square, which is about the uprising in Egypt. It was, you know, that these people came together in peaceful union until Mubarak resigned. It was just like, we're gonna just sit here in love and union, and we're not leaving, you know, until this changes. And this is just like such a beautiful model, you know, of what can happen. And of course, this Uranus square Pluto has been going on since the summer of 2012 until it's not done exactly until March of 2015. So this, you know, this transitional time that we're in, it's almost like this grand cross happening on April 23rd is probably a culmination of this Pluto Uranus square that really brings to a head, yes, all of this emerging need. So people are tapped in consciously or unconsciously. We are getting, I feel like it's a guitar. I don't know if you've ever tuned a guitar, but you know, you tighten that string and you tighten that string and you tighten it, you know, and you're just nervous it's going to pop any second, you know. And this is like where we're at. I feel like we're all guitar strings and we're all getting cranked into tune. Yeah, we're all getting stretched, you know. And the stretch here is this Mars in Libra, which completes the Grand Cross. Yeah. And which is all happening, in case you didn't know, at 13 degrees. Yes, which... Yeah. I also use the Sabian symbols, so it's actually the 14th degree of the signs. And if there's time, I could get into some of those Sabian symbols. They are, you know, give a lot of revelation.
Yeah.
You know, but this Mars in Libra, you know, coming around here, and then of course we also have these eclipses happening. This lunar eclipse is happening. Yes, you know, right on the 15th, and then we have a solar eclipse happening on the 29th. And these, you know, this month of April is just this huge culmination, like I say. And that culmination, if we look at this retrograde Mars moving through Libra, and then, you know, it just joined with this north node of the moon, and it's, you know, it's coming around again when it goes direct to hit that, you know, north node again. And this is just a time. It's interesting because, you know, the sun for the United States of America is at 13 degrees of Cancer. And so the United States is directly hooked in, you know, to this whole shift. It's got Pluto opposite its sun. And if there's, you know, no greater indication of, you know, a fall of the currency or coming into a world currency, you know, and abandoning the dollar or something. I mean, there's, you know, we could go into that, you know, in a whole way. But
that's definitely in the
news. Mostly. Yeah, you know, I really want to focus upon the individual's role within the unfolding of the collective.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, there's been rises and falls of empires throughout history, but that doesn't guarantee a change.
Yeah.
So we can even have a revolution, but if we do not change our consciousness as a collective humanity, we're just going to replace the old, you know, morons with new morons.
Yeah.
You know, the thing here is, you know, really that as each one of us, and this is what the Kundalini Yoga is about and all these personal healing techniques that, you know, awakening the light body, et cetera, et cetera. This is about that as each of us opens our hearts to each other and we realize in Lakesh is what they say over the Mayans, you know, I am another you. As we begin more so and more so to consciously integrate and understand our reflection, our mirroring, our intradependence with all that is, not just humans, but animals and plants and planetary consciousness, solar, you know, consciousness, galactic consciousness. It's all different forms of consciousness. And we are moving into, whether you want to say it's the Galactic Federation or whatever, it's just that we are now able, it's like the window of time is opening for each of us, personally, inwardly, on a heart soul level, to fully realize ourselves as light beings, as agents of a divine love, and to realize, I think this is the main key, that love is the most powerful force in the universe.
Yeah.
And this is, it's like this is the time for us to prove that
yep.
It's not money, and it's not property, and it's not possessions, and it's not youth, yeah, that it is love.
Yep.
And it's the outcome can be absolutely beautiful in the meantime.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a test. It's just like, okay, you know, easier said than done. You know, and Mars in Libra is actually showing each one of us in our personal relationships, our most intimate relationships, our sexual relationships, our, you know, financial, you know, bound relationships with Saturn and Scorpio, you know, that, you know, it really is, you know, time for us to butt up against our own fears, where we refuse to trust, where we are, you know, just unable to change, or where we are stuck. And, you know, each and every one of us is now, through our, you know, through our relationships, business and romantic, whatever, you know, and family, for sure. This Pluto Jupiter opposition in Cancer Capricorn is family. It's the redefinition of family. And of course, spouses and, you know, lovers are part of our family. So, you know, this is really a time, you know, of, and if we look at this eclipse that's coming up, the it's basically a great full moon, you know, and that great full moon is happening, you know, at 25 degrees 15 minutes 16 minutes of Libra Aries, and that is on the star, the fixed star Spica, yes, which is right there, at the wheat of the Virgin. The Virgin is holding wheat in the constellation of the Virgin, is Spica. We have that star Spica and Ceres, yeah? Demeter, the mother of Persephone, is also conjunct, yes, this moon, this this lunar eclipse coming up here. So we look, you know, now the players become a little more distinct, yes, because there is then this sense that each one of us gets to deal with, and this is just, you know, it was like, you know, Pluto emerged and erupted out of the underworld. This is our Kundalini force, our death force, our passionate sexual force, rises up to claim, to take, yes, Persephone, the daughter of Ceres, down into the underworld. And of course, this creates a situation where Ceres, the mother, you know, goes into deep sorrow, you know, and refuses, yes, to bring springtime, summer, warmth, water. You know, it's like Mother Nature just stops until she gets her daughter back. And you know, this is really, and she intervenes between that relationship, yes, between Pluto and Persephone. And so this is a time where we will each and every, you know, it's a time of coming into relationship and dealing with interferences, triangles. This deals with triangles, with mother-in-laws, with outside interests threatening these relationships. This is like a test of our commitment, a test of our ability to rein in, you know, and master, yes, some of our sexual kundalini passion energy forces. Libra is an air sign. The North Node in Libra, this is ruled by Pallas Athene, the goddess of wisdom. This is very much having to do with communicating and sharing our deepest feelings. And of course, the moon has to do with the past. And whenever a planet is conjunct its own North Node, this is a North Node lunar eclipse. It makes the moon that the prominent, yes, the prominent player in the eclipse. When we come around to the solar eclipse, it is a south node solar eclipse. And there's whole different ways of looking at eclipses here also, is that when you get the lunar eclipse first and it's followed by the solar. Sometimes you'll get the solar eclipse first followed by a lunar. Sometimes you'll get two lunars and a solar in the middle, whatever. But this one in particular, is the lunar first, dealing with the past, dealing with our childhood fears, conditionings, breaking out of the family constellation, out of the karma of the family, healing past generations of what has gone on with your mother and with your father, and not repeating, and in ways breaking free, giving back your mother her karma, your father his karma, and not carrying the burdens genetically anymore, but really stepping into a place of clarity and a place of, you know, self-creation. And then we go into the solar eclipse, which is on the 29th, and it's actually in the sign of Taurus. And this, you know, just, you know, so as much as we can unload and let go of our patterns that are not really even our own patterns, but that we can, you know, really shed so much of the past, that is going to pave the way, right, for, you know, for this new found, I would say, a united front, yes, that is going to create, I think, a new form of security. Here we have, you know, Pluto Cancer, this Capricorn Cancer, Pluto in Capricorn, Jupiter in Cancer. This is the security axis, yeah, in astrology. Capricorn has to do with physical, financial security. And we are, it's the end of our old ways of finding security through physical, financial means. And Jupiter is now giving birth to a new, this is emotional security. Yeah, Cancer is water. It's a, so this is like, you know, gaining a new sense of security through emotional bonding and redefining our definition of what family is to include all of humanity, a global family.
The family
this
of
is
man.
The, this is the, you know, this is the way. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm interpreting this whole grand cross as like the birth of the family of, I don't even, I hate to say man anymore these days. I have to say humanity.
Leave the women out. No, 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 no.
And, you know, and so, and of course, this is getting pushed through the birth canal, right? You know, it's like, you know, the birthing process, you know, it's 9 months in the womb, and then it is push and squeeze, and, you know, hopefully we don't have to get spanked in order to start breathing. But, you know, that could very well happen. We see, you know, Chile already kind of, you know, giving us a couple of shakeups, and then we had a little tsunami warning down here in Costa Rica. And, you know, of course, there's a number of other signs with the, you know, the global warming and the ice caps melting, and, you know, new information is, you know, coming to, you know, coming to the surface now, which is perfect with this whole series, you know, Demeter, Persephone, and Pluto going on over here with this North Node in Libra. But that, you know, that's a little bit of, you know, the way that I look at it, the way that I see things happening. I can go into any other realms that you would, that's brought up for you, Christopher.
Well, the whole configuration is a lot greater than the sum of the parts. There's a really a synergy there that I've been feeling. Of course, I'm an Aries. My birthday was April 2nd, and on April 3rd, a once-in-a-lifetime thing happened with transiting Uranus, which is, what would you say, an 85-year cycle, was conjuncting, you know, for the first time in this life, was conjuncting that that point in my sun sign. So it was like, this was like the energy of Uranus, that revolutionary lightning, like lightning energy, and I've been trying to be the lightning rather than, you know, be struck by lightning, if you know what I mean. And so it's been really intense. I've been carrying a lot of voltage, and I've kind of overamped my circuits, and my voice was my voice went out here this last 24 hours, and it's just been the writing and the production and the stuff that I've been doing. I mean, it's like a creative surge, you might say, and I've just been trying to flow with it, like I say, be the lightning, but you know, sometimes you get in the way of a lot of energy, and rather than just let it flow through you, whatever blocks you have in your system, and not being a perfected being yet, it's been pretty intense. it's been pretty intense this last week.
It is a matter of perspective, Christopher.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we look at Source or Creator as an evolving force rather than a fixed entity,
right,
then we get a sense that there is perfection within the imperfection, and it's just a constantly changing form from one state of perfection into another. But you know, it's just the conscious perception of that really changes. And one thing that we really want to do, and we don't want to get too lost in, and sometimes, you know, as astrologers can do this, is you see one of these great events happening and there's such a focus on it, but it happens within a greater context.
Now,
it's like 12/21/12, you know, was like this big great day that the world was supposed to end, you know, and, you know, it came and went, right? And this Grand Cross is also going to come and go. So we want to look at, you know, what else is going on. And you know, it's like this is not staying, you know, forever. But what is coming now, and even by next month, even by the end of this month, Jupiter moves from that Grand Cross into a Grand Trine. With Saturn in Scorpio and Chiron in Pisces. And it stays, you know, pretty much in that Grand Trine for months until it goes into Leo. Yeah, and it goes into Leo July 27th. And then later on this year, Christmas Eve, Saturn finally gets the hell out of Scorpio and moves into Sagittarius.
So, that'd be nice.
You know, we want to understand, you know, that this Grand Cross is happening, and it is kind of like this explosive 4th of July fireworks, you know, and we all get to see a dazzling, you know, and that's what the squares and the cross, anything divided by four has to do with matter and material manifestation. So we will see events. That's what astrologers get so excited about, squares and crosses, because you see something. Mm-hmm. But with trines and sextiles, it's like this unseen supporting network going on behind the scenes, you know, to support this, you know, this visible manifestation of change. Mm-hmm. So what's really happening with this grand trine in water is, again, this healing of our wound of feeling separate. It's our wound of, you know, that we're born into this world of three dimensions, of separation, of you know, time and space, masculine and feminine, day and night, out of that Piscean, you know, ocean of oneness and unity. And we all have this empty sense of longing for reunion with all that is, because it's where we came from, and we fill that with different addictions. Now, life is a series of dealing with all of our addictions.
Yeah.
As human beings, we all want to fill that empty longing with something. You know, drugs, alcohol, sex, movies, books, work. Work is a very popular one these days, but you know, it's really, this is a time, you know, where I suggest and I hope and I encourage all of my clients, the people that I'm working with, to really look at what we are using to avoid and deny our feelings, our longings, our grief. We have all experienced so much loss, and grief is a natural occurring experience of, you know, that immediately follows a loss, and to deny it or suppress it or ignore it or move on, it doesn't go away. It makes that hole, that it's a, like an inner black hole, bigger. And this is a time, this grand trine in water with Saturn moving through Scorpio, is a time to honor all of the pain, all of the suffering of that separation consciousness has brought on humanity, on our families, on our own personal lives. And it is this suffering and this grief and this feeling that actually breaks open our hearts. You know, I get so many people who, oh, I want to open my heart, I want to open my heart. And the more you ask for it, guess what? The more heartbreak you get. It's just part of the process, baby.
True. Like
our hearts are getting cracked open like eggs to make an omelet.
Yeah.
You want your heart open, you're going to get it broken open, because that is what brings you. It is compassion and understanding and acceptance that brings us into this place of opening to diversity, of opening to, you know, the common element that we all have as human beings is really this element, and it's humbling. You know, we are all being humbled now with this Saturn. Saturn's been in Scorpio since October of 2012, and Scorpio humbles us. Our relationships humble us. Our banks humble us. The economy humbles us. It's just like, you know, we are all getting kind of like, you know, shown, you know, how powerless we are alone.
Our hearts are being, they're being opened, like you say. I mean, we're a lot of us are asking for it, but in the sense we're co-creating, you know, our reality, and this is the first principle of quantum reality, that our thoughts about an experiment or an experience actually changes the experiment or changes the experience, and collectively, the collective experience right now is like the cracking of eggs and a stir fry right now.
Yeah. And I think that if we find our way to the compassionate love and acceptance of each other and all that is, even our enemies or even our Illuminatis or reptilians or whatever you've got some issue against or about, you know, and everybody's got, you know, some judgments about something, you know. I mean, if we can find our way through that, it's not going to require as much of a kick in the ass as we might get. We don't need Fukushima. And we don't need, you know, polar shifts, and we don't need, you know, hostile alien takeovers, you know, to get us into this place of uniting, you know, our hearts and souls as a collective, you know, planetary consciousness. So it's really up to us, I think, as individuals, and the more each one of us as individuals, you know, through, I use, like I say, Kundalini yoga, meditation, and, you know, shamanic journeying, and, you know, just getting out of our ego separation into this collective consciousness, it's going to have a impact on how smooth or how hard this transition is for everybody.
That's it.
You know.
Yep. I like to think of it that this is a great time to be alive, and it's the test that's best for souls on the path of conscious evolution. And the keynote here for me is that fearless faith with victory virtues
is the best answer to faithless fear and victim dictum.
About 15 minutes, 15 minutes.
Wow, that was great, Christopher. Could you repeat that one more time slower?
I was going to say the key thing for me, and this is kind of one of my mantras or centering principles, is that fearless faith with victory virtues is the key to processing, neutralizing, handling faithless fear with victim dictum. The faithless fear of victim dictum. So it's like fearless.
Oh, God, I love it.
Uh-huh. Fearless faith is, you know, the best answer to faithless fear, and victory virtues are the best answer to victim dictum. But anyway, that's to me, that's, I have to keep it simple, and that I just kind of keep that, you know, that's kind of my ongoing mantra. Anyway, we're gonna wrap it up here. I wanted, what would you say would be your, when I say your mantra, I'm not asking you to come up with one on the spot, but you know what, how are you saying we should come to this point of quantum reality, creating our own reality now? Well,
I would say that I would focus on the inner sacred marriage work. I would encourage men to get in touch with their feminine, which is the feeling and the chaos and the emotional change within, and go into the dark and the scary. And I would encourage women to get in touch with their masculine, which is, you know, clarity and communication and structure and order. And as each one of us does our own inner balancing of the masculine and feminine, it's going to be mirrored in the outside reality. And you know, right now we are very unbalanced. Western civilization is so maniacally masculine. We are overstructured, ice cold, intellectual, ordered, and blah 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 blah. There's and so, you know, it's going to change.
It's got to
change. Each one of us personally changes.
Well, thank you, Kapancha, so much. I'm so grateful you came on the show today. I hope listeners enjoyed this as much as I have, and hopefully we can do this again sometime. So, thank you.
You bet. Thank you for having me, Christopher. It's been an honor.
You're welcome. Thank you, and thank everyone for listening, and we'll be back here. Happy trails until we meet again here in a few weeks. Goodbye, all. Goodbye, Kapancha.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention, because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.